This week on the Finding Impact podcast, we are illustrating why you need a clear fundraising goal before starting your fundraising with Salonia Tedros of Change School.
FindingImpact.com. FindingImpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.
Hey everyone, my name is Andy Narricott. I'm the founder of Finding Impact, the show with an audience of social entrepreneurs who are serving the base of the pyramid and who want to learn from each other, who want to pay it forward, who want to learn from others who've tried things and failed maybe and have important lessons to share. And that's what this episode is all about. Our guest this week started their fundraising journey, and they're getting all the way through to closing a deal when they had second thoughts. They walked away at that point. They came back to it later, but it's an important lesson, and Salonia is coming on to share her experience and let everyone learn from it so you don't go the same route and you're more effective. So make sure you head on over to findingimpact.com to check out the show notes and the links on this episode. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our highly actionable and succinct and friendly newsletter that comes out every other Wednesday. I'm hoping it's insanely useful and give you the information you need in the social enterprise sector that you need to succeed and the things that you need to know about to cut through all of the dross and all of the noise out there. So make sure you sign up to our newsletter. Let's jump straight in. Hey everyone, I've got Salonia Tedros here, and we're going to be talking about her fundraising experience with her social enterprise, Change School. We're going to talk about how they fell into fundraising, how they got to the point of signing on the dotted line, but then at the last minute changed course. We're going to dig into that, and Salonia is going to share her learning from that experience. So hopefully it will illustrate why you need a clear fundraising strategy and goal before you start fundraising. So this is what we're going to dig into. Salonia is the co-founder of Change School, which helps people and businesses reconnect with their values, redesign work, and redefine success as authentic leaders. So welcome, Salonia.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me on. Super excited for this.
Yeah, me too. And it's really been a connection of minds, I think, since we've been chatting. And I really love what you're doing. The Change School, you know, from what I understand it, is that everyone goes through change in their life, be it career, you know, graduation, career, you know, family, retirement, and navigating those changes. What do we got? So you've really moved into that space. Did I explain it right? Maybe you want to just sort of give the 2-minute pitch. What is Change School?
Yeah, no, you did a brilliant job. So what you said was exactly spot on. We work with individuals as well as organizations, and our starting point, the end goal is really transformation. And as you said, being able to redesign life and work in a way that's aligned with your core values, whether that's organizational values or an individual's personal values. And as you said, we see that change is really the only thing constant, right? We live in a time of constant change, which at a rate that's getting faster and faster. And so our vision and mission at the Change School is really to equip and empower people to embrace change, to navigate uncertainty, and to always really work towards thriving, no matter what stage of transition, transformation, or growth they're going through.
Mm, brilliant. So I mean, so immensely useful. I wish I had these tools, you know. So we get a sense, before you dig into the fundraising, can you give us a sense of what is your business model? What do you provide? I mean, and also, how did you get to that realization that people needed tools and guidance and that they'd pay for it?
Yeah, sure. So something Grace, my co-founder, and I always talk about is the fact that throughout our sort of life journeys or our career journeys, we as you said, you know, due to whether it's a shift in a life stage or a life phase, we often find ourselves at a bit of a crossroads when change is about to happen, right? So whether we're graduating from school and entering the job market or moving through our careers or eventually deciding to start a new relationship or a family, et cetera, all of these big sort of life moments really tend to trigger us to think about, you know, who am I? What's really important to me at this point in my life? And how do I want to move forward? Or who do I want to become? And so it was really through Grace and myself, our own personal experience of hitting that sort of pivotal moment, both of us for different reasons, sort of found ourselves back in Asia after living in the US and Australia, respectively, for a few years and working there. And coming back to Asia was challenging in terms of trying to figure out how best to apply our skills, our knowledge, our experience, our interests into the world of work. And something we always joke about is that, you know, this was about 15 years ago. We felt that when you are at a crossroads, the only two options that seemed available to people were to either go on a yoga retreat, you know, and hope you find that sort of connection and clarity, or invest in getting an MBA and hope that that helps you to be more marketable, right, in the job market. And for us personally, we felt like there's obviously tremendous benefit and value to either option. But what we were really looking for was something more holistic. So how do I, as an individual, ensure that I'm growing intellectually, spiritually, physiologically, emotionally? Can that happen all in one space? And is there a community of people or other people who are going through a similar journey that I can learn from and grow with? So that's really how the Change School was born. We wanted to create something that we felt was missing, and that was really important for our own development and ability to move forward. So your question about the business model. So, you know, I think we kind of talked about this on one of our past calls. We've obviously gone through several pivots over the years, but to focus more on what we were doing the first 3 years, which was very much offline, we tested this idea of creating a space for people to reconnect themselves, to sort of remove themselves from the daily grind, from the noise, from the opinions of others, from all the social conditioning. So we created an immersive retreat experience that would give people the opportunity to be in that space and to reconnect with themselves. The second big component to these retreats was the learning aspect, right? So while Grace and I sort of led the day-to-day, we also brought in outside experts, practitioners, facilitators, everything from, you know, yoga instructors to Muay Thai teachers to really design thinking experts, you know, sharing their insights and approach to building impact-driven businesses. And so there was a huge learning component, but it's also not just about bringing in experts, but being able to learn from your peers who are going through a similar experience. And so community and peer-to-peer learning was the third really important component to the immersive retreats. And we played around with different time frames. We had 7-day retreats all the way up to 21-day retreats. And as our business sort of evolved, we started to test, I guess, as you had put it, other models in order to make our experiences more accessible and to essentially bring the learning to you. So in Singapore, we set up what we called the Change School Gym. The idea is that it's a gym for your mind. And the message there was that, you know, we've already come to a point as a society where we know that, you know, working out, doing physical exercise is important to keep our muscles like growing, to stay healthy, to be well. But how are we really looking at our own mental development and resilience, right? So that was the idea behind the Change School Gym. We worked in partnership with several co-working spaces and space providers to create these bite-sized learning experiences. And we started to see professionals coming in for, you know, a lunch break or after work bite-sized learning experience. And the feedback there was really positive. And because a lot of professionals were coming into those experiences and sharing about it inside the organizations they were working at, our next evolution was into developing bespoke transformation programs for organizations. So we started getting some really great companies coming to us asking for these bespoke experiential training type of programs to help develop their people and to help them facilitate this reconnection between the core values of the employees and the company's core values, right? And what does that mean for how we work, for the culture that we're creating inside the business, et cetera. So those were kind of the three core pillars, I guess, of our offline activity for, I would say, the first 3 to 4 years.
Brilliant. So first of all, with these immersive retreats, which sound amazing, by the way, sort of a cross between a sort of festival and a sort of spiritual experience. I mean, sounds amazing. Sign me up. Second of all, with the, yeah, with sort of the play space. So in Singapore, sort of after, sort of attached to these co-working spaces. And thirdly, going within businesses, companies, and providing that sort of into internally within their staff. So this is all the offline activities, and you found this quite successful and helpful. But then you then started making moves towards the online space. Is that right?
Exactly. So I think one of the biggest challenges we faced with growing the business at this point was that it was so demanding on our time, Grace and myself, and our physical presence. You know, we had dabbled with different sort of models for, you know, one thing we had was we had a really fast growing database of coaches and trainers and various experts who wanted to work with us. But the challenge we had was creating and finding a model that would allow us to work with them in a way that, you know, ensured the, I guess, the brand personality of the Change School, right? And what type of train the trainer model do we implement? So we really struggled with that a bit. And then while trying to figure that out, also being able to respond to the requests that we were getting. So Grace and I were doing all the facilitating for different programs. We were also the curriculum designers. We were also organizing on the back end the retreats and the different partnerships. So, you know, our biggest challenge was how to build and grow the business in a way that didn't entirely rely on Grace and myself being there. And that was really the trigger for us to look at what a shift online would look like, and how we could take, you know, all the learnings and the work, the best work that we'd done, and translate that into the online world.
Brilliant. So this is the backdrop towards, you know, of your business. Now, at some stage, you needed an injection of capital to take it to places where you wanted to go. So that involves some fundraising. Can you maybe sort of help us understand why the need for fundraising, was that assumption correct, and how you started? What was your sort of next steps to sort of see if you could access the funding to do what you wanted to do with this company?
So actually, it's great how you've sort of phrased some of your questions already, because you've kind of brought me naturally to the point in our business where this was exactly the turning point where we started to think about getting funding, because we were in this place of having tested successfully various different potential revenue channels and models for the business that could work. But we also knew that we needed to make it more efficient and less taxing on ourselves. That was really the trigger for us to go, okay, well, if we want to grow, then we need some growth capital. And what's the best way for that to happen? You know, to be honest, I think in at the early stage, Grace and myself, were definitely more focused on identifying the right strategic investor. What we were really wanting is someone to come in and be able to tell us, okay, out of everything you've done, this is what makes the most sense to take forward, to try and scale, and these are the areas that you could either improve or let go of, right? Because we had so many parts to the business, and we were just needing that brain power, essentially, and someone with more knowledge and experience to come in with skin in the game, but to help guide us forward.
Can I just recap for a second there? Because I think it's just to understand the decision for funding. Yeah. So previously in the offline world, you probably saw more of a sort of linear trajectory, but it was the limiting exactly. factor was you and your co-founder that was very much part yep. of the delivery of that, which isn't, you know, massive scale. It's a linear growth. It's only so much you can do. Whereas then when you're moving onto this online world and bringing in all of the other trainers and coaches that could deliver your content, then you can scale because then you're not the key ingredient here. So when you're thinking then, okay, we've landed on something that could potentially scale, then we bring in the funders because that's how you can access that type of funding, of people, funders who are interested in that kind of growth. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
That's exactly right. And I should also just point out as well, like, the decision to go online actually came afterwards. So at this point, we were purely looking at, if we are an offline business, almost a brick and mortar business, right? Yeah. How do we scale this given what we've tested and what we've learned?
Great.
And so when we were, you know, ready to, I don't even want to say go to market, because what was so interesting is, I think up until Grace and I had never really thought about going this route of approaching investors for, let's say, a seed round. And so I always say that we kind of fell into fundraising because what we had set out to do, just as sort of an exercise for ourselves, was we said, let's go out and speak to 10 potential investors without the intention of necessarily going down a funding route, but just to understand the types of questions they'd be asking, how do they respond to the work that we've done, what would they be looking to see, et cetera. And what's really interesting is those first 10 meetings very quickly evolved into actual fundraising. And when I look back, you know, because we always have that clarity when we look back, right? I think one of the biggest learnings we took away is, you know, we were more reactive rather than proactive. And it was simply because initially we were just testing, sounding out the market just to see what investors would say and how they would respond. And it was as best of production things, we started to just respond to that. And we were putting together, adding to our deck and our spreadsheet, all the things that we felt the investors we were speaking to wanted to see. And at some point we sort of really took conversations much further and more forward with two strategic investors we felt would be great to bring in together. So one, I think, understood the business more so and the potential direction if we were to really evolve into a school, let's say. And the other investor was coming in more with monetary power. And so we wanted to sort of combine the two so that we had the best of both worlds. And those discussions and negotiations actually took the majority of the year. So I think we were in discussions for about 8 to 9 months. And so within that time frame, I think the second biggest learning or I'll say mistake that we made, but of course out of that came great learnings, was that we weren't very focused on operating the business through this time. And that obviously put us in a really difficult situation at the end of 8 months. You know, we were discussing negotiations with investors. We weren't really managing the business, and now we were facing a bit of a cash flow challenge. And spoiler alert, we didn't actually go ahead with the two investors in the end. And so we were really kind of in a rut by the end of this journey. And that's when we started to look at how do we go online.
Okay. So let me just summarize where I think we're at. And then you went, you sort of, as you say, fell into this fundraising, which is, I think, is a good thing to do, is to go and speak to others and get their feedback on your business model and what questions they ask. And, you know, it's a good sort of research exercise in a way, just getting feedback on your plans. But then you started, yep. sort of went down the path. And then you put the, and then it, all in this backdrop, while the company was slightly suffering, you say, because you hadn't been paying it attention. And then that you sort of had this realization. When did that realization happen? And when can you describe, you know, the conversation almost, you know, you had with your co-founder and realized that actually this isn't what you wanted?
Yeah. So I think a good thing that we did, you know, towards the end of this 8 month sort of journey and round of discussions with the two investors is Grace and I both took a little break, a mini holiday, to just, you know, step away from, we'd been so immersed in the fundraising, and we just needed to step away from things for a moment and get some clarity. And I actually remember that, I think it was the day after I'd come back from the States, and Grace and I sat down at Starbucks, and we were at this point just a few days away from signing an agreement with the two investors. And we sort of needed to sit down and have an honest conversation about, you know, what was our why, right? Why did we set up the Change School? What was the vision? What are our core values? And I think the second biggest question at that time was, you know, how do we want the experience of building and growing the Change School to feel for us, right? And how if we were to take the business forward with these two investors, you know, how would things look in terms of our lifestyle and in terms of our personal goals? And at that time, you know, Grace was pregnant with her first child, my goddaughter. And I was also considering a relocation out of Singapore. So I think we were able to, in taking that step back, we were able to kind of look at that bigger picture again, get out of this nosedive into purely just fundraising and really think about how does everything fit with our own bigger picture, our own personal goals, and our goals for the business. So I think that was really the turning point. And we tried to visualize, you know, what a regular day at work could look like once we started working with these investors and changed the business the way we'd been talking about. And I think we just felt that it wasn't really aligned. And even the direction that we had sort of been discussing for the business with the investors started to feel a bit unaligned. And so I think one of the biggest lessons I have from this, which is why I was saying we were reacting and not being as proactive, is that, you know, because we were speaking to all these investors and each one has their very different interest and approach and perspective, and they want to see different things and what's attractive to one investor in terms of your potential for growth and scale versus another is very different. I think we were almost constantly trying to respond and please and impress the people we were speaking to, as opposed to coming in and saying, hey, this is what we really want. This is how we see it going. And we're here to find alignment. And if there is an alignment, that's okay. We move ahead. But I think sometimes, and this is probably something a lot of founders and startups may face at some point on their journeys, is, you know, if you are strapped for cash, if there's a cash flow issue, if you're struggling, or if you're at a low moment in the business, and you feel that desperation, or you're coming with that mindset, it becomes really difficult to sort of steer the whole fundraising journey and approach in a way that you want, and to be proactive about it, as opposed to just responding constantly to what investors want. Because what happens then is you do lose sight of your vision and mission, and you kind of get off track.
Yeah, and this is something I have witnessed with some social enterprise, that it's what I've sensed, that I've seen is that the need for funding almost feeds into this desire for like a reward and recognition, right? That you've got, that people want to put their money in your business is almost like a success, like you've made it because you've created something that people want to put their money in, and it's almost like done, right? I mean, that's some great advice to others about stepping back and you know, thinking through what they want before they go for the fundraising process, you know, but what would you say, just in a nutshell, that advice that you can give to other social entrepreneurs who are listening about the right way to do it, you know, even before you start funding, but that sort of internal query about whether or not this is what you personally want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's, you know, you need to be really, really clear about why you're going for funding. I think, you know, there's been such a, I guess, celebritism of starting up, you know, thanks to our unicorns and a lot of the stories that we hear from Silicon Valley. And I think, you know, a lot of times I've found a lot of startups and founders to just sort of believe that the natural next step for my business at a certain point must be to go for funding. And as you said, sometimes it's a bit of an ego trip. But that's not to say, and I want to be really clear, I'm not against startups going for external funding.
Oh, no,
but I think it's really, really important that they ask themselves why. You know, is it growth? Is it scale? What is the sort of exit strategy if you have one? What are the goals? What's the intention? What, especially if you're a social entrepreneur, you know, what is the impact you're trying to make and how is funding going to help you get there? So these are sort of the big picture vision-driven sort of questions, I think, that are really, really important on a foundation level before you even start conversations around potential fundraising. Second, I would say, and just to add to that, I would say, I think it is a great exercise to sort of, you know, test or sound out the market, because you're also able then to sound out your own clarity and conviction around what it is you're going after with the fundraising, what you're wanting to achieve and why. So I think that's a really good thing to just practice anyway. And the second thing I mentioned earlier, which I want to highlight again, is also being really honest about how you want the experience of building and growing a business to be. Now, this, you know, this is that piece of advice, I think, is something very change school. So it may not be for everyone. And I don't, you know, there are different businesses, especially I feel in the tech sector, where, you know, that aggressive growth and scale is something that they really want. And that's perfectly fine. But, you know, what we believe in at the Change School is that everything needs to be aligned. So if you are in a certain phase or place in your life where family becomes really important, or, you know, having your own sort of sense of work-life balance, whatever that may look like, is really important, then I think there needs to be a lot of attention assigned to that as well in the overall consideration around fundraising, right? If you're going to bring in really aggressive, scale-driven investors who want to completely transform your business and have you working completely different hours, et cetera, and, you know, whole new reporting systems in place, I mean, all of that is going to impact how you experience being a founder or growing your business. And so I think that's also really important to be honest with yourself and each other and your team about. And the final point I would say is, like, really, really think about alignment. I think when you're in the whole fundraising journey, it's easy to, as I said, you get sidetracked, you know, whether it's because you're really trying to target an investor and they're wanting to hear X and you're trying to, you know, answer to that, or, you know, the prospect of getting however much you are going for, starts to kind of get you out of alignment. These things can be really, they can backfire. And so I think it's really, really important that throughout every stage of conversation, discussion, negotiation with potential investors, it's important that you're really looking for alignment of values, looking for their real understanding of your business, where you want to go, how you want to take it forward. And if that alignment isn't there, I would say for sure walk away. Because as I said, it will backfire down the line in different ways.
Brilliant. Really useful advice. Thank you, Solonia. We just need to finish the story briefly. I don't know if you mentioned, but what did you do then? If you sort of decided not to take the funding, what happened next for Change School?
Well, so as I said, after the 8 months, we were kind of in a pickle from the business perspective, and naturally, and as we've talked about, we walked away from the two investors. However, of course, it's really important to us that we maintain, positive, progressive, and relationships with everyone we work with at the Change School or engage in any way. So we continued to speak with two of the investors, and actually one of them came back to us and said that he was still interested in supporting. He understood our decision, appreciated our considerations, and just wanted to know how else he could support us. And we really took that on board. We didn't go back to him immediately because Grace and I kind of needed to regroup and figure out, well, how do we move forward from here? And as I mentioned earlier, this was really the point at which we said, okay, if our goal is to not going to go the traditional route of going for seed funding, what else can we do? And that's when we decided to shift online, because that would allow us to, take our content, turn it into online courses, a YouTube channel that we created, a change planner product that we put up out on Amazon. And to do this, we did need a much smaller amount of capital. But it also meant that we would be able to do more because we were no longer purely offline. And so I think it was about 6 to 8 months after closing discussions with those two potential investors that we went back to one of them to say, hey, this is what we've decided we're going to do. This is what we want to test, a product on Amazon, an online course, our YouTube channel, and this is the amount of capital we would need to take it off the ground. And we agreed on a convertible note structure, which just was really a win-win. We were able to sort of gain the strategic value that investor could bring, but also, in a sense, maintain control, right, of how we were doing things, what we were testing, et cetera. And so it ended up being a convertible note, and that allowed us to really move into the online space. And today that's really where we're at with our online courses, our virtual coaching, our change planners now sold out, but our YouTube channel is still alive and there. And it's just free tutorials for anyone who's needing additional support or resources to move through change.
Fantastic. And we're going to link up a free course that you're offering for people at different transitioning in their career. And I'm going to link that up, a special link at findingimpact.com/change school. So findingimpact.com/change school. We'll link it up there. But give us an intro. What is that, Selenia?
Yeah, brilliant. So we have quite a few resources. I think at the link that you're going to be sharing, there's quite a few things on there that people can access. One good one that I think would be really relevant for our conversation today is we have a 5-day visioning challenge. And that can be for teams or it can be for individuals. And the goal is really to help you find clarity around your bigger vision, whether that's for you personally in your career or your personal life, or as a business, as a startup. And so I think this aligns really well with everything we've been talking about, right? Is, make the starting point for your growth journey with a really clear vision. Right. And be really clear about what it is you're wanting to achieve, who you want to become, how you want to create impact, whether it's in your life or in the lives of others. And let that sort of be your internal GPS or guiding light for moving forward.
Excellent.
So I hope folks get to try that out.
Yeah. 5-day visioning challenge, clarity around your bigger vision. And that's at findingimpact.com/change school. And that's free. So check it out. Selenia, thank you so much. I mean, it's been full of stories, practical advice, and honesty. So thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing your journey with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Andy, for having me. It's been great.
And that was Selenia Tedros of Change School. Thank you, Selenia, for coming on and sharing your experience and also telling us all about Change School. Fascinating. I've been totally into this since we spoke, and I've been checking out all the resources. Make sure you head over to findingimpact.com/change school, and you can check out their 5-day visioning challenge. I want to go through that myself, and I think it'd be incredibly useful to anyone at any stage of their career, but also any of the other resources. And check out Solonia's private website as well, which we've linked up in the show notes. Make sure you head over to findingimpact.com for those, and sign up to our newsletter that comes out every other Wednesday, which is insanely useful and giving you the information you need in the social enterprise sector that you need to succeed. Thank you, everyone. That's it. Have a great week.
Findingimpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.